877-500-5266. Make the call that makes it possible for free speech to be heard all over this country, independent, corporate free. Yes, cable is about free speech, but that speech isn't free, right? They have to keep the rent paid. They have to keep the electricity on, the mics repaired, the studios operating, and that takes your support. 877-500-5266. Support free speech. 877-500-5266. Support KABU. We need your support. Please make that phone call. Fill every phone line, and you fill us with hope.
Amy, thank you so much. We really appreciate your support. And I think our listeners appreciate it. Now, if you're calling right this second, the lines may be busy. You have to keep calling. You get in. We will guarantee that you will be part of the matching period. Every dollar you give is $2. Vern in Vancouver generously has offered a match of up to $1,000. This is the moment to strike while the iron, I hate this expression, but it's great, while the iron is hot.
You know, and if you do get a busy signal, you can bypass it by pledging online at kboo.fm.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And
oh, right. You can do it right online.
Hey,
now, folks, we're in the last minutes of this match, so please call in. Please fill these phone lines. We can't do it without you. By the way, if you have any friends in the area of Oakdale, California, which is, I think, about 2 miles, 2 hours out from San Francisco, I'm going to be speaking at the Symbiosis Gathering 10th anniversary on Saturday, on September 19th at 4 o'clock, and I'd love to see some KABU listeners there, or friends of KABU listeners, or family members of KABU listeners. That's Saturday at 4 o'clock in Oakdale, California, and I hope soon to be coming out next year on the 20th anniversary tour of Democracy Now! And celebrating KABU in person in Portland.
All right.
But phone in right now. Your call now is the gateway to that. Make these phones ring. Make them ring for freedom of the media. We cannot do this without you folks. Only together, only with you. Your call makes the difference. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Your call makes it possible for KABU to continue. If you want the Ta-Nehisi Coates DVD, if you've never heard of him, you will be blown away. Just trust me. Get the DVD. If you trust Democracy Now! And the grassroots global news hour we bring you, you will be deeply moved by this hour with Ta-Nehisi Coates. You'll be deeply moved by the hour speech he gives back in his community in Baltimore to hundreds of people. Please call in. That number again is 877-500-5266. Let's meet Vern's generosity. Every dollar you pledged is being matched right now. So call in during this match period. It's a sacred time. You pledge 50, KABU gets 100, and you only have to give 50 of it. You pledge 100, KABU gets 200. If you pledge right now, by the way, if you'd like to come to New York, if you want to make a reservation, it's not like a restaurant. You call up, say, a day and time. You just call and say, I want dinner and a show. If you'd like to come to New York, think of the holidays coming up or maybe an anniversary graduation you've got coming up, and you want to celebrate with someone or give it to maybe a couple that's getting married, dinner and a show in New York, you come to Democracy Now!, you watch the broadcast live in the studio, you see how we broadcast on 1,300 television and radio stations, you meet the guests in studio, maybe Ta-Nehisi, maybe Isabel Allende, maybe Arundhati Roy, who knows, and then I personally get to host you and your special guest for dinner, and we have a wonderful time. I've done this with a number of KABU listeners and with hundreds of Pacifica radio listeners and public television viewers, and I'd love to host you in New York. That is a $2,000 contribution. You don't have to know when you can do it, but you just make the contribution now, then we'll work out the details. If you can do that, it's a tax-deductible charitable contribution, as is any contribution you make right now. That number again is 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. The Ta-Nehisi Coates DVD, yours for $75, and KABU gets $150 because of Vern's generosity. Please call 877-500-5266. $60 or $5 a month if you want to do it in installments. You get the Democracy Now! T-shirt. Please call in. and KBOO gets $120 because you've made that pledge and Vern is matching it dollar for dollar. 877-500-5266.
Amy, thank you so much. I really think that your program is one of the most important sources of news on the air.
Agreed.
In the society at this time.
Well, it means so much to us that KBOO broadcasts Democracy Now! We have an amazing team of people that work day and night. We're already working on tomorrow's broadcast and Friday's broadcast today, bringing you the story of James Blake, writ large, sadly, because the tennis star who was, if you have not seen the video, you can go to democracynow.org and actually see the video of him being taken down by the New York police. He was standing waiting for a car to take him to the U.S. Open. And before he knew it, he was slammed to the ground. The police say it was a case of mistaken identity. Really? So the person they meant to get deserved to be slammed to the ground? It's because it was caught on video and also because it was a tennis star. But this is going to the highest levels. But what about all the cases of the people who didn't have a video or perhaps weren't as famous as James Blake? It's an issue he himself is raising. We had one of them on Democracy Now! Today, Warren Diggs, and you heard his life and how it's affected him. Please call to allow this forum for people to speak for themselves. 877-500-5266. Again, if you want to come to New York for dinner and show, I'd love to host you here. That's a $2,000 contribution. Or pledge $25 or $50. Become a member of KBOO. It really matters.
Holy smoke, that was great.
That was great. Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys. And again, if anyone's in the, not even that I know exactly where this is, but if anyone is in the area this weekend or know anyone who's in the area, I would love to see you there. I'll be speaking at 4 o'clock on Saturday in Oakdale, California.
Well, a few hundred miles, what the heck?
But maybe someone knows someone there. But anyway, you can check it out at democracynow.org. Thank you for calling in, folks. Keep the phone calls coming in. Keep those lights lit for independent media. Ring for freedom of the media. 877-500-5266. Or you can pledge online at KBOO's website. And what's that website again?
It's kboo.fm. And thank you, Amy, for doing what you do.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Abe. Thanks, Kathleen.
Bye-bye.
Take care. You know, that was great.
That was really awesome.
Hey, listen, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to be a part of the match. Every dollar you give is $2. Keep doing it. Keep calling. If the lines are busy, be patient. Call again and again or go online, kboo.fm. The number to call, 877-500-5266. Do it now. Feel good about yourself. Feel good about your radio station. Feel good about Amy Goodman. Feel good in general in a world where there ain't a lot of good.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Mercy Killers, a play presented by Healthcare for All Oregon on Thursday, September 17th at the Alberta Rose Theater. Mercy Killers addresses the measures the main character must take to care for his sick wife. The play is being performed as a benefit for Healthcare for All Oregon, who work for an affordable, comprehensive, publicly funded, high-quality, universal healthcare system serving everyone in Oregon. Again, that's Mercy Killers, Thursday, September 17th at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you to all the restaurants providing food for our volunteers today. Eclectic Kitchen, located at 4936 Northeast Fremont, provided breakfast, serving breakfast and lunch with locally sourced ingredients and with gluten-free options. Pizza A Go-Go, located at 3240 North Williams, provided lunch, serving pizzas, salads, using local ingredients, including gluten-free options, as well as delivery. Ciao Vito, located at 2203 Northeast Alberta, provided dinner, featuring seasonal organic Spanish-Italian fare using local produce and handmade pastas.
And good morning. This is Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio. Thank you for everybody who supported Democracy Now! And everybody who supports KBOO. This is our membership drive. You know the number, 877-500-5266. Before we get into this program with Thomas Lindsay on community civil disobedience in the name of sustainability, one quick announcement. Today from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the Capitol, State Capitol steps in Salem, in Chiwana Fishing People Against Nestle rally. Speakers will start at noon. People are starting to gather 10, 11. And it's going to be some really good speakers there, some old-time leaders of the Native fishing community who you've heard on KBOO over the years, Wilbur Slakish and Johnny Jackson, as well as a Warm Springs tribal member and others who are fighting the proposed Nestle water bottling plant in Cascade Locks. So that's this morning through this afternoon, and I'll be there. Hope you'll be there too. And Thomas Lindsay is with the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund. They have assisted over 500 municipal governments and community organizations to draft and adopt new local laws that assert the right of the people of those communities to stop corporate factory farms, waste dumping, corporate water withdrawals, and fracking, and other things. As part of its legal defense of those laws, the Legal Defense Fund asserts that the right of local community self-government is a constitutional right woven into the fabric of American law, and that legal doctrines such as corporate constitutional rights must yield to the doctrine. And there are groups all over the country, including here in Portland, Oregon, and others in Oregon. The Portland group is Community Rights PDX. You can check them out. And they've got a group that's organizing. And good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having us back on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. We had you on last year a few times, both speeches that you gave in Portland, and I also had you on my talk radio show. It is good to have you back as well, and thank you for waiting. It was really good to hear Amy Goodman live on the air, so passionate about what she does and about the work that we do, as we all are as well. And I'm sure you are as well, because you get access to the airwaves here, and you probably don't get it too many other places, I imagine.
No, and in fact, I just did a membership drive for KYRS, which is the community-supported radio station in Spokane, Washington, and we used to have a show on KYRS called Democracy Matters.
Great. So you have this booklet out, which kind of summarizes the approach that you've developed, synthesizes and summarizes the approach you've developed over a couple decades. This is your 20th anniversary year, as I see, created in 1995. And it's called On Community Civil Disobedience in the Name of Sustainability, the Community Rights Movement in the United States. Why did you feel the need to put all this in a short booklet form?
Well, for a while, we've seen the need for a primer. People come to us asking questions about what is the community rights movement in the United States? What does it mean? And how can it be implemented? And what's the long-term goal for the community rights movement in the United States at this point? And so the primer is a quick and dirty 60-page primer on what's happening in the U.S. and why community rights are a necessary movement towards a constitutional right. To a right to local community self-government, and what are the legal theories that animate that constitutional right, and what are prior people's movements, and how important have those people's movements been to the lessons learned by the community rights movement, and how they're implementing those lessons as they move towards their goals. And I have to say, it's been a very exciting two-year span at this point, which is has been marked by things like the Colorado community rights movement putting forward a new state constitutional amendment, which would recognize a right of local community self-government for folks in Colorado to do things like ban fracking at the municipal level. Because up till now, communities haven't had the power to ban fracking or factory farms or the situation like Cascade Locks. I mean, why shouldn't the people of Cascade Locks be able to vote up or down on whether Nestle comes into their community to do water withdrawals? And it's that assertion of power and authority that people are finally beginning to drive into law. And so whether it's Colorado, whether it's New Hampshire, where a new state constitutional amendment is now moving, or Ohio, where we're tangling it up with the oil and gas interests in the Ohio Supreme Court and beginning to move forward a constitutional amendment there, or in Oregon, Oregon's been a hotspot of community rights at this point, whether it's Columbia County, Lincoln County, Lane County, Coos County, Douglas County, Benton County, Oregon has become a hotbed of sorts for working on everything from banning pesticide spraying to banning GMOs to banning LNG pipelines to dealing with the coal and oil trains. And so this movement that began, you know, 15 years ago in many ways is now finally coming to maturity in terms of running not only these local ordinances and local laws, but beginning to penetrate that constitutional structure to begin to eliminate corporate rights and state preemption, and understanding in a very advanced stage that the problem is not just the corporations that come in, but also the system of government that empowers the corporations to do what they do. So like in Cascade Locks, whereas the point of the spear is Nestle Corporation, they're being empowered by the federal and state government to actually override the community there. And so it's important to understand that it's not just the corporations, it's actually the system of government that we have as well.
Yeah, you have some very provocative lines throughout your book, as you often do when you speak. The introduction is called sustainability is illegal under our system of law. That's sort of a meme or a phrase you've sort of developed to sort of synthesize your approach to things, being that there's something fundamentally in our structure of law, in the U.S. Constitution itself, specifically the Commerce Clause, that inhibits all our best, well-intentioned efforts from bearing the kind of fruits that we would like. People who haven't really heard this before, give a quick, 2-3 minute mini primer on why sustainability is illegal and why you say that activism has been focused almost exclusively on, quote, working the system rather than working to change the structure under which the system operates.
Well, unfortunately, very, very few people actually understand how the system actually functions. And so when a project like, for example, just to pick something out of the air, Nestle Corporation comes in to do water withdrawals, people assume that because we live in a democracy, first of all, they assume we live in a democracy, that their local community has the power to actually prohibit an activity or project that's coming in from harming them. And in fact, the opposite is true. In the United States, over the past 150 years, mostly due to corporate lawmaking, in other words, corporations and their law firms pushing certain theories into the courts and then getting the courts to adopt them, that our communities, our municipalities, our towns, our villages, our counties, you name it, boroughs, townships, we don't have the power at this point or the legal authority within those municipalities to actually veto certain projects coming in that will be harmful to us. And the reason for that is that the general rule of law is that if the state has approved something or the federal government has approved something, that municipalities and people within communities are powerless to say no. In other words, we can't ban a use that's been approved by the state or federal government. And part of the reason for that is something called corporate rights. So corporations have certain constitutional rights. And if you attempt to say no to a project coming in that's going to harm you, the corporation has recourse through suing you for violating their corporate constitutional rights. And in addition to that, not only do corporations pull those constitutional rights out of their pockets to sue communities every day, but they also have power through our state legislatures. So our state legislatures act according to the largest economic actors, and the largest economic actors tend to be corporations. So corporations use our state legislatures to preempt our communities from being able to say no to these projects or saying yes to sustainability. So the reason why we use the meme, sustainability is illegal, because it is. Under the structure of law that we have, there are certain doctrines that can be used by the largest economic actors, including corporations, to actually smack down communities that attempt to move in a different direction. Because after all, if you can't stop corporate water withdrawals, then you can't move in the direction of a sustainable water policy. If you can't stop Walmart from coming into your community, you can't actually legislate towards a sustainable downtown economic system. if you can't ban factory farms, you cannot move in the direction of sustainable farming. So the no and the yes go very tightly together. And without the no and the yes, you can't have economic or environmental sustainability, which we're talking about all the time as being a good thing that we need to move towards. So while existing groups, you know, these big environmental organizations in the United States, continue to work within those structures of law, within those doctrines, to try to get the best deal possible for communities, which usually means regulating the corporation a little bit more so that a little less harm is caused, they continue to sell the bill or sell the commercial that you can actually get what you want through that existing system by working within those existing doctrines. We're a little different, and the community rights movement that's been arising in these 10 states over the past 10 years is different as well, which is folks have given up hope mostly on that state and federal regulatory system. They're tired of begging regulators to do their job. They're tired of writing letters to legislators or to Congress to get something done. And so they've turned their backs on that. And now they're saying, we're the solution, we're the remedy that we've been looking for. And they're actually seizing authority to say no to these things in their own communities across the United States. And eventually, like I said a minute ago, these efforts at the local level across the United States are beginning to now formulate themselves into constitutional change mechanisms. And I think it's very exciting when they begin to move to the state constitutional level. And in Oregon, these communities in Columbia, Lincoln, Lane, Coos, Douglas, and Benton have now begun to coalesce themselves together to propose a constitutional amendment at the state level, which would recognize their right to say no to certain things in their community and say yes to sustainability. And now in October, the National Community Rights Network is coming together, which is representatives from all of those different state community rights networks, to finalize a federal constitutional amendment, which would, for the first time, recognize a right of local community self-government so that communities like Cascade Locks, for example, can actually say no and make it stick when Nestle Corporation or another company wants to come in and take their water.
Okay, well, Thomas, we're going to have to take a little break here. That's a lot to take in, and we're going to continue on, along that thought. I'm going to ask you, you know, if you consider your approach revolutionary, and if so, how it might compare to other revolutionary approaches. I think that might be an interesting question, perhaps not. But we are in our membership drive, and the number to call is 877-500-5266. I do believe that community radio and community rights are a good fit. And if you agree with that, please call us up. What do you think, Joe and Abe?
I really couldn't agree more. And this just in,
This just in.
If you pick up the phone and call right now, 877-500-5266, the Mix Collins Band has made a very generous offer to match the next $250 in donations that are phoned in or interneted in during this talk radio program.
Interneted in?
It's just use interneted as a verb. Where
what
else are you going to hear that? But
that?
On KBOO, yes, we interchange parts of speech. That's just how we roll, Joe.
Oh, okay. Anyway, listen, all of you out there, this is an opportunity to match every dollar for a dollar up to $250. You can't lose. You get radio, you get information, you get music, you get what you need to function in this crazy world of ours on the radio right here in Portland, Oregon, on the station that since 1968, has been telling you the truth, has been bringing you the news, has been struggling to make this a better world, has actually been the source of many, many of the movements, many, many movements in our society. Won't you call now? 1-877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO.
And right now, if you make a contribution to KBOO, you'll get a copy of On Community Civil Disobedience in the Name of Sustainability, The Community Rights. This is a short primer from the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund exploring and describing the philosophy and underpinnings of the community rights movement that has emerged in the United States. This is an invaluable handbook
for those of you interested in the community rights movement
and those of you interested in things like, I don't know, justice, democracy, self-determination.
And environmental soundness.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, just throw that in there.
Yeah.
Come on, make a call right now. Give us an opportunity to make that $250 match. You know you want to do it. This is the moment. This is the hour when you should call. 877-500-5266. 5266.
Or you can pledge on the internet, KBOO.FM. Look at our shiny website. It looks just like the mural on the front of KBOO Towers. You click on the tip jar.
Is it really shiny?
Yeah, well, it's shiny in the abstract. Yeah. Appealing.
Sure. 877-500-5266. KBOO.FM.
That's right. Or pick up the telephone, 877-500-5266. Or if you're in the neighborhood, we're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just off Burnside Street on the east side of Portland. Come on in. Make a contribution in person.
It's very exciting.
It is.
It is, really. And we're being matched dollar for dollar by the Mix Collins Band, up to $250. Every dollar you give is $2. So do it now. Let's get this done. Let's get this program underway.
Pick up the telephone, 877-500-5266.
All right. Thank you, Abe and Joe, our hosts on Tuesday Talk Radio. And, of course, we have Monday, Thursday, and Friday Talk Radio as well, but they have new and interesting creative names. I'm just Wednesday Talk Radio, but we try to all speak the truth as we see it and to bring you important guests like Thomas Lindsay from Pennsylvania, who has a, as you heard, a booklet out, a primer on the community rights movement on community civil disobedience. I think it'd be interesting to talk about the idea of community civil disobedience, but we want to tackle that question. I mean, is revolutionary, is that even an important concept? What does it mean? Is there a difference between reform and revolution? These are some issues that I've tried to tackle here. You have anything to say about that question, Thomas?
Sure. What's interesting is that we're doing an Oregon tour coming up October 1st to the 8th. So we're going to be in Salem, Corvallis, Newport, Coos Bay, Eugene, Columbia City. And the poster for the Oregon tour says it's time for a revolt. It's time for communities to revolt, not just against this corporate structure of law, but against their own state government, which furthers that corporate structure of law. And the word revolt, I think, is a good one, because up until this point in time, it's basically been a revolt. The community saying we're not going to obey this particular system of law anymore. We're going to replace it with one of our own. So communities moving to do their own lawmaking. I think in addition to that revolt stage, we're rapidly entering a revolution stage. And a revolt is basically defensive. You know, you're in a position where you have to do something or you're going to be harmed. And so I think up until this point, it's really been a community revolt. And so we have close to 200 communities across 10 states in the United States that have adopted laws that basically push back against this corporate system of law to say, we're not going to allow this, that, or the other in our community. And in addition to that, we're going to strip corporations of certain constitutional rights that they claim to have. And in addition, we're going to push back against the state. We're going to refuse to acknowledge that the state government can actually mandate that certain things like fracking or factory farms or water withdrawal occur within our particular community. So I think the revolt stuff is an absolute necessity. In other words, over the past 10 years, that's what communities have been doing. But I think this new stage, this next stage about revolution, is actually about seizing the mechanics of the constitutional system that we have in the United States to actually force it to begin to work in favor of these communities on the ground rather than constantly against those communities. And so whereas major environmental organizations, you know, like the Sierra Club and the NRDC and EDF and all these other groups are basically about reform. And when I say reform, I mean about tweaking the system to try to find an exception here or a variance there or an exemption in the law or trying to find a loophole, because that's basically what we're left to fight over are those crumbs at this point, which is to try to find a way to get the existing system to work for us. But what most, and people still come to us and they say, well, look, the regulatory system is broken. You know, the system of law that we live under, it's broken because it doesn't allow us to actually have the freedom to say no to these things coming in. To which we usually turn around and look at them and say, well, maybe it's not broken, maybe it's working perfectly, because the regulatory system is about keeping a layer of insulation between the people on the ground who are actually experiencing the effects from these projects and the state government itself and the corporation itself. The regulatory system interposes itself between those two layers. So instead of direct control over what's happening in our community, were insulated and prevented from having direct control by that layer of regulatory stuff. And that's where the environmental groups tend to focus the most, which is trying to appeal permits or trying to change certain, you know, section C, little I, little 2 of section 1203 of the environmental laws of a certain state. And so the fact is reform tries to use existing law to get good outcomes. But what we're saying is that existing law was never intended to actually deliver good outcomes, that existing law was intended to permit and allow the harm to occur in the first place. So until we take on these doctrines, until we take on the very system of law itself, until we understand that the system was never intended to be democratic, that we don't live in a democracy, that the levers that we're trying to use were never intended for our use in the first place, until we actually get to that place, we will not begin to understand the necessity of dismantling the thing totally, which is about changing how our constitutional structure works so that it empowers us, the people of, you know, constitutional and Declaration of Independence myth, rather than empowering the corporations to do what they do. That understanding is what girds the community rights work rather than trying to tweak individual regulations or individual laws.
I just want to interject, you know, we're talking about environmental, but I think you're very clear in this booklet and in your presentations. I mean, you started, I believe, more as an environmental lawyer, but you're very clear about that it's a both environmental and labor laws, which, as you say in your chapter one, protect neither the environment nor workers, and in general, the entire regulatory framework, which extends, health, safety, environment, labor, all these, the entire regulatory system is what you're talking about, right?
Absolutely. And the exciting thing about the community rights stuff, I think, is that you're finally seeing crossover between issue areas. So in Colorado, whereas the main emphasis for the community rights network there has been fracking, you know, banning oil and gas drilling at the local level, in some counties where 19,000 permits have been issued for fracking, for example, that they're now joining forces with the $15 an hour folks, the increased minimum wage folks that come together across those issue areas to understand that the constitutional change that has to occur is not issue specific. It's about freeing and liberating communities to actually begin to adopt their own laws for that better system, for that sustainable system that they see. So it's not just environmental issues. It's actually now, you know, bleeding over into those other issues where people are joining hands to say it's not just environmental sustainability. It's also about economic sustainability. It's about increased minimum wage. It's about labor rights in the workplace. It's about the Patriot Act stuff. It's about all of these things in a wide spectrum, stuff that we as the progressive community have never been able to obtain in terms of the changes that we would like to see, those paradigm shift changes that we need to see, that we're now understanding in many ways that we can do it at home. And that, I think, is a very hopeful message as well.
And you are listening to Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio. We are in our membership drive, as we will continue to remind our listeners for the next few days until we meet our goal. And the number to call is 877-500-5266. Just want to give that quick reminder. I want to also remind people, we had a caller in the Gorge. We were talking a little bit about the proposed Nestle water bottling plant that a lot of people are fighting against. They asked to repeat the location. There is a protest, a rally going on, starting this morning, going till 5 o'clock this afternoon on the Capitol steps in Salem. And that should be easy enough to find. 890 Mission Street. There is some parking at Bush Park close to the Capitol. I guess that's the address for that, 890 Mission Street. There's some parking at the Capitol itself. And come on down. There will be some really great speakers from Food and Water Watch, from BARC, both groups that have been fighting this, from Cascade Locks, from the Native Fishing Community on our Columbia River. And so that's happening. That's an important local struggle along the lines of what Thomas Lindsay, our guest, is talking about, communities standing up to protect and defend their rights and to dismantle the existing structure of law. I want to give the number out real quick if anybody has a question for Thomas. This is a talk show. Of course, we're in our membership drive, which kind of cuts things down a little bit. But the number is 503-231-8187. Thomas, I mean, you talk a lot about basically dispelling illusions. There's certain illusions that we have that are inhibiting us from actually seeing what's really going on and taking more direct and effective action. You think that's true?
Absolutely. I think from birth we're inculcated into this particular myth, which is that the United States is the democracy. We have the best constitution in the world. In fact, some people think we have the only constitution of any nation in the world. I think there was a poll that said that a couple months ago. And that our system works a certain way and that we have a valuable role as citizens and that we can pressure our politicians to do the right thing and that we have power through elections to actually elect the right people into office. And so we're inculcated with that myth since birth. But the problem is when you actually try to get those mechanisms to work, like, you know, you do rallies and you send letters and you participate in the regulatory permit appeals, that you find that the system doesn't work for us. And it's unfortunate because so few people in terms of a percentage of the population actually come face-to-face with the system as it is to understand how it actually functions. And it's camouflaged very well in many ways. And so people having this myth in their heads that's never dispelled is fairly common. But when you have a water withdrawal moving in next door to you or a factory farm or any of these other thousands of different single issues that people face every day, you actually have no choice but to confront that system. Because when you walk into that regulatory permit system that's been set up to allow that activity to occur, what you find right away is that whereas the corporation is the entity that's staring you in the face, that the corporation is backed up by state power. And that state power can be traced all the way back to the constitutional structure. And so people who have in their heads that we live in a democracy and that what a majority of people want within a community should actually matter have that dispelled pretty quickly by participating in the system that is. And so even though they do rallies and all this other participatory stuff, which is focused on pressure politics, which, by the way, is how the progressive liberal community has operated for the past 40 years, is through believing that pressure politics works, that somehow it matters what we want within our communities, that it matters that we have 60% or 70% support of people within a community who don't want a corporate water withdrawal or some other project, that there's that belief system that we have a democracy and all we have to do is make it work. And I think that's a shortcoming of the liberal progressive community, is that we've been doing that for 50 years, 40 years, yet things are worse now than they've ever been before. So something's not working. The levers can't be used. It's almost like a car that we don't have the keys for. We try to actually use it and drive it, but we don't have the mechanisms to actually start it. The folks that do, who can use that state mechanism, are the corporations that are attempting to come in to do the harm or the project, the activity that they propose for our community. So it really means getting our heads out of our collective asses in some ways to understand that we don't live in a democracy. And I think it's gotten a lot easier to have that conversation today because you have, for example, Princeton University putting out a study a couple months ago that said, we don't live in a democracy. Here are 50-100 policy decisions that have been made over the past 10 years and how people have not been able to influence any of them. That it's only an accident when real people are actually able to influence what's happening in Washington, D.C. or in the state capitol. And then, you know, Supreme Court justice stands up and says, when somebody asks her, well, we're writing a new constitution for our country, which example should we use? And she says, well, don't use the U.S. Constitution because it's from the 1780s. And there are newer constitutions that need to be used that protect economic, social, and cultural rights instead of the U.S. Constitution. So I think it's gotten a lot easier to talk about, but it's still this myth that's the sacred cow of American politics in some way.
Well, Thomas, we're going to have to take a break here real quick. But when our listeners do participate with us is to call in during our talk radio. And since we do have one caller, let's listen to them before we go to our membership break. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, go ahead.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have a question for Thomas. It sounds I'm thoroughly on board with the community rights And wanted to point out that I know that in Josephine County down in southern Oregon, the voters did enact the GMO ban down there, but because that's a county that's been under siege as far as having money for the sheriff and all that, it sounds like there's a willingness to enforce the will of the people in JOCO, but there's just no means to it. But it seems like a golden opportunity to put some additional effort in to really get that ban a little bit more firmly in place at this point. Is there something that you and CELDEF can do to make that happen and just take that moment to really showcase this as a great victory for the voting public?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. Josephine County, a group in Josephine County passed an ordinance that bans GMOs within Josephine County. What many people may not know is that Josephine County got sued this past week by the same kinds of corporate interests that have been overturning GMO laws across the United States. And so Josephine County is turning out to be quite a case study. Unfortunately, the folks that worked on the Josephine County GMO ban didn't integrate some of the structural change stuff into their ordinance. So there's nothing in their ordinance about corporate rights or about preemption, these mainline doctrines. And so I fear that their defense of the Josephine ordinance is going to be a conventional one. It's not going to go after establishing a right of local community self-government or taking on corporate rights or preemption. It's going to try to work within those doctrines to try to uphold the ordinance. And as we've seen in other places, that has really been a defeatist kind of strategy. So we've attempted to offer assistance. We've attempted to speak to the folks in Josephine County. I think they should be applauded for standing up because so few people have against GMOs in a lawmaking capacity at the local level. But at the same time, we have to understand that these local laws have to be more than just bans. They have to actually move beyond that to openly and directly challenge these doctrines like corporate rights that interfere with the actual implementation of them.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about that corporate rights in a few minutes. But right now, this is your time to participate in the KBOO governance and process by calling up and giving your support or going online and giving your support. 877-500-5266. If you really appreciate hearing a voice like Thomas Lindsay, who is pretty much shut out of most other media outlets, and if you appreciate hearing Democracy Now!, all the other public affairs and music you hear on KBOO, give us a call right now.
Yes, please give us a call. You know, we have a match here. We have a match of $250. Every dollar you give is worth $2 up to $250. And, you know, we had a big flurry during Amy Goodman's show, and it was great. And I want to thank some people, but I also want to ask you to call. Really, it's very important. It's very important for you to make a contribution to the station, however much you can afford. And we'd like to see a monthly contribution because that's the one we can manage the best to plan our future. 877-500-5266. I want to thank some people, some new members. There are a lot of people who've called who are renewing memberships or upping memberships. But I want to thank Connie in Gladstone. I want to thank Tina in Lake Oswego. I want to thank Dylan in, I don't know where, Dylan anyway. And I want to thank Rachel in Vancouver, Washington, and I want to thank a couple other people that are brand new members. We're really excited about having increased membership. Olivia, where I can't even read the handwriting, but it's okay. We want to thank you. We are really, really appreciative of your support. We want to remind people there's a match right now of $250. This is your opportunity to double your contribution to the station. $60, that's $5 a month out of your bank account if you want to do it that way. $120, $10 out of your bank account. A mere bagatelle. It's easy to do. It's worthwhile doing. We have many, many thank you gifts, including the book right now, this is very relevant, on community civil disobedience in the name of sustainability, The Community Rights. That book is available for a contribution of $60, a minimum pledge of $60. Again, the numbers to call, the important, all important numbers that really matter, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM.
And we're back. My name's Paul Rowland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I have Thomas Lindsay of the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund on the line from Pennsylvania. This is a really great opportunity to continue this discussion, this conversation, this vital conversation over how do we deal with the catastrophe that has beset us, well, for so long, but it's just getting worse and worse. And as Thomas says, really our approaches may not actually be up to the task of really even thinking about the way things work in order to actually try to engage with the systems of power that we're sort of like, we're being, they camouflage themselves very effectively, and we grow up in these institutions. And, you know, maybe something like that film, The Matrix. I don't know. It had a big influence on me. How about you, Thomas? You like The Matrix?
Yeah, I can never remember whether it's the blue pill or the red pill. Same concept.
Well, I think your book is the red pill. Let's just say that. Yeah, so we do have a couple callers. Matt, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello, go ahead.
I'm curious. Yeah, hi. My question is about, so with the community organizations movement here that you're talking about, how do you, I guess, mitigate the other side of it where, you know, communities are, you know, specifically with the evisceration of the Voting Rights Act and all that stuff, where communities might go away that, you know, are exclusionary and divisive?
It's a excellent question. It's one we talk about all the time during our two-day trainings, the democracy schools that we hold. It's important to understand that the community rights movement isn't about, hey, everything goes at the community level, and opening the door so wide that communities could pass any kind of law that they chose to, as long as it was rights-based. And so it's important to look at the constitutional amendments that are actually emerging from these community rights states. So like the constitutional amendment that's being proposed by the Oregon Community Rights Network. The last section of the constitutional amendment says that while communities can pass certain laws, they have a right of local community self-government to do so, that those laws can't drop below existing fundamental constitutional protections or existing statutory protections. So in other words, it's a one-way pipe that the lawmaking by communities can expand rights above those lower bars, but can't drop below them. So in other words, the lowest common denominator are those constitutional rights and statutory protections. So everything that accrues to individuals currently through those constitutional and statutory frameworks, that these laws can't drop below. So it's important to understand that the community rights movement isn't about setting these communities loose from the United States. It's about expanding their lawmaking authority so that they can expand rights, which then gives them a platform to ban certain activities like water withdrawals or factory farms or those types of things. So it's a very, very important question. We should be very concerned about, you know, setting renegade communities loose to do other things. But the community rights movement is not about that. It's actually about expanding those protections above the floor that's already been established by constitutional protections, either state or federal, and also by statutory protections found within state law.
Okay. We have another caller. Jeff, you're on the air. Hello, Jeff?
You got me?
Yep.
Hey, it seems to me the fatal flaw in the U.S. Constitution in relation to all of this is Article 6, which makes international treaties the supreme law of the land. They trump federal, state, and local statutes. And these trade agreements are typically couched as international treaties, you know, and looking ahead to the Trade and Services Agreement, which is, according to leaks, reputed to American things. How do we deal with that particular issue? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Sure. We do it the same way that we're dealing with constitutional doctrines like the Commerce Clause, which give corporations the power to override local enactments through their right to engage in commerce. And in fact, the TPP and GATT, NAFTA, and the International Trade Agreements actually flow from us through the Commerce Clause. The Commerce Clause actually set up the first free trade zone in many ways in the United States, and then we exported the model out into these international trade agreements. So to say how we're dealing with it is as simple as nullifying it, in that these local enactments not only are about nullifying certain illegitimate doctrines like corporate constitutional rights and about preemption when preemption attempts to set a ceiling for what a community can do rather than a floor, but also goes after those international trade agreements and lumps them together with those other illegitimate doctrines. So when we say a revolution, we mean it, which is that those international trade agreements are as anti-democratic as the U.S. Constitution's Commerce Clause, or as anti-democratic as the U.S. Constitution's bestowal of corporate constitutional rights onto the corporate form. So we have to take all of it on, because if we don't, then we can't dig deep enough to get all the cancer out of the system. So this means, you know, new people, new mindset, not progressive liberal mindset, but actually one that's more on the populist ground of people who are very courageous and bold, who are moving forward to say, we don't care what those international trade agreements say. We don't care how the Constitution favors corporations over communities. We have to do something now. And what we have to do is has to be smart and tactical and strategic and all those things, but it has to peel back all of those layers, not just the state and federal level layers, but also the international layers.
And we have to go to another membership break. I just want to just a sort of a cautionary note about the international treaties. We have to be very careful to remember that there are treaties with our indigenous nations that are also the supreme law of the land. That's something very important to keep in mind. You don't want to throw those out with the corrupt commerce-based international treaties. So with that, let's go to another membership break and talk a little more about the importance of keeping these messages on the airwaves, talking about community civil disobedience, talking about community resilience, talking about community mutual aid, talking about community strength in the face of what's coming at us. And the number to call is 877-500-5266. Do we still have that matching grant there, Joe?
We do. $250. You give a dollar, another dollar is matched. This is a very exciting moment for all of us. We're raising money to keep the station functioning. We've heard from Amy Goodman. We have Paul's excellent show and the suggestion of real constitutional reform. All of this happens on this station and nowhere else in the region. KBOO is the source of all the exciting stuff that goes on, the best in music, the best in public affairs programming. And you can be a part of this by the simple act of making a contribution. You know, $5 a month out of your bank account, $10 a month out of your bank account, whatever you can afford, a chunk of change here, a chunk of change there, it adds up. 877-500-5266. Let me repeat that number slowly. 877-500-KBOO. You call that number, our handy, friendly, wonderful folks will take your commitment. The station will prosper. You'll feel good. The world will be bright. The sun will shine in your back door. It'll be a wonderful day if you only call us and make a commitment to the best in radio. Also, you can do this in privacy online, kboo.fm. It's an easy move. All it takes a few bucks. Most of you have a few bucks. All right, so 877-500-5266. People are standing by, as they say on the commercial radio. 877-500-5266. Make a contribution. Make it today. Do as much as you can afford. Remember, there's a match of $250.
And get your book, Get On Community Civil Disobedience, In the Name of Sustainability
book.
By Thomas Lindsay, our guest today, for a minimum pledge, a minimum contribution to our station of $60. Support talk radio. Support Joe and Abe. Support Cecil and Celeste. Support me. Support Joanne. Support Ani and Lynn. Every weekday morning, 8 to 9, you get Wednesday Talk Radio, much more interesting in its own way than some of the other talk shows, some of the other public affairs you can get on the airwaves. We are unique. We are KBOO, 877-500-5266. Give us a call right now. This is your opportunity. There you go.
Yeah, really. Come on. Let's do this. Let's get this out of the way. You know, nobody likes to ask for money, but we got to do it because we are a listener-supported radio station. We're a community resource. We depend on you. We got no corporate sponsors. We got no corporate resources. I don't think we even want them. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO or online KBOO.FM. Do it now. Feel good about yourself for the rest of the year. What the heck? What an opportunity. Don't miss it. It's even got a match of $250.
And get this book. This is, you know, we want to facilitate conversation. This is really important stuff, folks. We all know how dire the situation is. We all know what we're facing. Or, you know, we hope we know. We have to also be self-critical. We have to be willing to question some received assumptions. And people like Thomas Lindsay are really important for that reason. He really brings a fresh new perspective on the structures that entrap us, that we need to see clearly. We need to see those bars. We need to see the prison that surrounds us in order to get out of it. That's a metaphor that Thomas uses, and that's really important. That's such important work. 877-500-5266. I think only KBOO on the airwaves is doing that kind of work. Only KBOO is doing that kind of work. And so we're asking you to call us up and contribute and support and keep this conversation going, keep this ongoing vital experiment in real democracy, not the fake democracy that Thomas is analyzing and deconstructing. So let's go back to our conversation here for the next few minutes before we have Political Perspectives with host Lisa Loving, speaking with educator and writer Mike Rose about his latest book, Back to School, Why Everyone Deserves a Second Chance at Education. Thomas, we have to wrap up here. Yeah, talk about this demystification process a little more. Talk about, you know, I can sense the frustration, you know, that you've had in confronting, you know, these illusions and trying to talk to people in a different way, trying to get people to look at these things in a different way. And, you know, it's really a challenge, but you end your book with an invitation. What is that invitation?
Well, it's an invitation to communities to come talk with us. It's an invitation to funders, because I don't have to explain this to KBOO, but everything takes money. Everything good takes money. And a lot of money right now is being blown away, flushed down the toilet, to fund some of the activism in the United States that has proven to be non-productive over the past 40 years. And so, you know, it's an invitation to labor unions to talk to us about doing new local municipal organizing around labor Bill of Rights, like the Worker Bill of Rights that's being proposed in Spokane, Washington. And so it's an invitation to everybody to be, I guess, less shocked as to how the system actually operates in practice and more open to new forms of organizing and activism that actually mean seizing our units of government and turning them upwards like guided missiles against both the state and against the corporations. And it's my pleasure. I'm now back in Spokane, Washington on the West Coast, to be coming to Oregon the first week of October for a series of speaking engagements to talk to folks about what this community rights movement is doing and what needs to happen in Oregon and other places. And so from October 1st through the 8th, I'm in Salem, Corvallis, Newport, Coos Bay, Eugene, Columbia City. Folks want more information about those events, they can visit the webpage for the Oregon Community Rights Network. And that's ORCRN.org. So it's Oregon Community Rights Network, ORCRN.org. And we would, that invitation is open to everybody, and everybody who's interested in the community rights stuff should come, and we'll talk, because I think it needs to happen in more places than the 8 counties where it's happening now in Oregon. It needs to spread, and it needs to become the thing to do when Nestle or other corporations want to come into your community to do X, Y, and Z.
Great. And we've been talking with Thomas Lindsay. His book is called On Community Civil Disobedience in the Name of Sustainability, the Community Rights Movement in the United States. We've had him on a couple times in the past. We've also had speeches of his, and hopefully we'll get you on again when you're right here. I didn't realize you're already on the West Coast. It's great to hear you, Thomas, and keep up the good work, and we'll be catching up with you probably in the first week of October.
Great, and thanks for having us again, Paul.
And again, you can get this. You're quite welcome. And this booklet is yours for a minimum contribution of $60 to the station. That's On Community Civil Disobedience in the Name of Sustainability. And the number to call is 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. This is KBOO Community Radio. KBOO Portland. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for more great programming.
Thank you to all the restaurants providing food for our volunteers today. Eclectic Kitchen, located at 4936 Northeast Fremont, provided breakfast, serving breakfast and lunch with locally sourced ingredients and with gluten-free options. Pizza A Go-Go, located at 3240 North Williams, provided lunch, serving pizzas, salads, using local ingredients, including gluten-free options, as well as delivery. Ciao Vito, located at 2203 Northeast Alberta, provided dinner, featuring seasonal organic Spanish-Italian fare using local produce and handmade pastas.
Good morning, you're tuned to KBOO Portland. And we're in a few minutes. After a couple of announcements, we will get to political perspectives this morning. Host Lisa Loving speaks with educator and writer Mike Rose about his latest book, Back to School, Why Everyone Deserves a Second Chance at Education. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flash.